captures the country. No, the world in a tumultuous time. At this recording, George Floyd was brutally murdered and executed by the Minneapolis police. Protests brought the arrest of Officer Derek Chauvin, who had his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck. In addition, the other three officers have been arrested and charged as well. 17-year-old Darnella Frazier recorded the incident. This incident has shown unprecedented reaction all over the world. To add to this tragedy, police have attacked peaceful protesters, journalists, and medical personnel. People are understandably shocked and angry. As an unhoused black man, I am not. This is what I, the housed and unhoused, have said of African American descent. We were disbelieved, dismissed, and denigrated. In episode 4, I talk about how Business Improvement District, along with the LAPD, as well as the neighborhood prosecutors, single out and attack unhoused people. The Los Angeles Police Department has shown a verve, a free rein in terrorizing the unhoused community, even during COVID-19. In connection with the Department of Sanitation, Los Angeles Police Department has aggressively ticketed people in Venice, as well as the Valley and all parts of Los Angeles. In response to the protests occurring, our city leadership has focused on looting. Chief Michael Moore went even further in saying we have as much blood on our hands as the four officers who murdered George Floyd in broad daylight. We have police apologists, businesses apologists, run to the defense of the police and businesses while videos show them running protesters over, shooting them peacefully, and beating them. We have Business Improvement Pacific Palisades bootlicking and praising the cops on keeping them safe, but no mention in the Business Improvement District meeting on the name of George Floyd and the purpose of them protesting in the first place. We hear people speak ad nauseum about the buildings being looted by mom and pop stores, but a cursory comment is why are they protesting and how are the police the instigators? I believe the brainwashing is so complete that they don't realize they are infected with that virus. This one has long lasting and has been here before COVID-19. You can't shelter in place from it. It attacks the mind and heart. The first symptom is telling the oppressed how to protest. Protesting with permission is simply a parade. The symptom gets worse. You quote Dr. King's speeches, omitting that he was shot in the jaw and chest as peaceful as he was. The next symptom is you go into a condescending explanation on how the civil rights movement was the right way to go because you walked with Dr. King. The symptoms get even more worse. You begin to lecture black people on the ways and fault them as the ones with the problem and not the oppressor. You enlist another black person not educated or basically on your side, or no black person of color, using statements to let them divide us after the condescension. You can imagine this virus spread faster than COVID-19. But unlike COVID-19, there is a cure. It has been here as long as the ignorance has been as well. It's called shutting the hell up. Listen instead of hearing. If Dr. King has said riots are the language of the unheard, then why are you not hearing? He also said, we need a revolution of values. So what is this value over personal property, over the life of the people that are being constantly brutalized and not forgotten or not even brought in the same sentence when you bring up these ridiculous comments about looting? Let us also remember that LAPD has been on camera beating up an unhoused member prior to George Floyd's death. So how many riots will it take for the country and the world to hear? How many riots will African Americans and Black Americans will take for us to get our point across that we are human beings? People get into their feelings about when we say Black Lives Matter. will it truly matter when you listen? I will close my intro with a quote from James Baldwin. The Negro's future in this country is precisely bright or as dark as the future of this country. Right now, it's darkness in this country. The question is, will you turn on the light of understanding? My name is Theo Henderson from Weedy and Howes. I'm right here in Pan Pacific on a hot May 30th. And I'm here looking at a rainbow of people that are standing up and coming where they could be enjoying a cool beverage. They're out here protesting and demanding justice for George Floyd. In the studios, I have two people that protest this, and I would like to get their names. What's your name?
Gabriel
and
Michael.
Gabriel and Michael. What brought you out here?
Just the flood of bad news, you know, one black person dying in, you know, the hands of the police after another. And, you know, we benefit from so much privilege that we feel like it's our, you know, responsibility to come out here and at least give a little bit of our, you know, our opinion, our voices, you know, and stand in support of those that are less privileged.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, Michael, is what was your thoughts when you saw the murder of George Floyd?
I mean, it's disgusting, shameful.
Yes. America needs to be held accountable for what it has let happen to its people.
One of the things I, as an African-American person, it affected me personally, of course. I've had situations that negative experiences with police officers. I witnessed firsthand. I got out. I was telling about the time I was accosted by 13 cops. I had guns drawn on me. I've had several different negative incidences, and always that when I would start to mention the conversation, a lot of times I was met with opposition. What did you do to start it? Not all cops are bad. And even watching when CNN reporter got arrested, they were trying to still make it a respectability politics thing and blame, like, well, if Dr. King was alive, he would be against you burning buildings and things. What is your thoughts on this?
I mean, we're so quick to, you know, try and find an equivalence, you know, that might be false. And, you know, I think it's part of our culture and DNA to, you know, ascribe the blame to black people and brown people. You know, that's just what we're programmed to do as a society. And we think that, you know, the police are always 100% on our side and protecting us, but I don't think that's the case.
What do you think? I would just like to add that, you know, a man was murdered and we saw it, and the conversation about looting is not important. Those are objects, those are not people.
Well said. I was going to say the thing. Buildings could be rebuilt, and you will get your pumpkin spice latte maybe a little later than you expected. But the bottom line is George Floyd will not be getting that pumpkin spice latte. And in fact, he won't be entering any of those buildings that you're pining and crying over. One of the last things I wanted to ask is that I noticed that there is a sense of unease because LA has its own share of police brutality. What can we do in order for to hold the police accountable? Because 54% of the budget is with for LAPD. And many people don't know that. And they're cutting out essential services for other people, like women, children, elderly, so they can fund this this occupying force. What is your thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't know if I have the answer to that, but I think the one thing that we can do is just call out police, you know, bullshit and brutality when we see it, record, and don't stand by idly, especially as white people. That's, I feel like, one of the first, you know, of many things we can do.
I didn't realize that the budget was that high.
Yes.
I think that, you know, you have to vote, you have to be involved in the system, and if the system isn't working for you, you have to break it.
That's one of the things what has been happening the past couple of weeks. The people's budget has been pushing around. I would strongly encourage you guys to look into that and understand and protest when it's public comment. Council Member President Nuri Martinez is responsible for trying to steamroll this budget in or not, or cut off public comment. So is there anything else you would like to add before I mill around?
Just thank you for sharing that information with us.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for, you know, getting your story out there, and, you know, be safe.
Thank you very much for your time. This is Theo Henderson from Whittier House. I thank you all for listening, and may we again meet in the light of understanding.
Thank you.
People here. One of the signs says abolish the prison industrial complex, and I see U.S. police are occupying our neighborhoods. Let's get your names and let's get your positions on these things.
My name is Melanie Vinay, and my position is that having the policemen who have physically engaged in police brutality convicted is only the very first step we need. This entire system has been written by white people for white people and only serves to protect us. And the whole Blue Lives Matter serve to protect is not true. It's only a way to control minorities and perpetuate oppression. So the whole system needs to be abolished, not reformed.
So what about you? What are you saying? They're occupying your neighborhoods. What's going on?
Well, my name is Nicholas Ayala. And, you know, when I say occupying our neighborhoods, I refer to Huey P. Newton. One of his famous quotes, one of his famous sayings is that the U.S. police force is an occupying army. And when he says that, he was referring to the brutality and the oppression that marginalized communities in the U.S. face, and comparing that to the brutality and oppression that marginalized communities elsewhere in other countries face at the hands of the U.S. Army. And when you compare the deaths, how many people the U.S. police killed in the U.S. in the past 5 years, they've killed more people in the U.S. than U.S. soldiers have died in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yep.
And when that's the case, you know for a fact that this is an occupying army and we are currently at war.
Well said. Did you know that the 54% of the budget, police budget, is used for our budget, is used for police? As more importantly, the services for people of color and elderly and children and other vulnerable communities are cut and slashed by Mayor Garcetti. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's just a reflection of the U.S. government, how it's been in the past. Just throughout history, it's always been a system like that, priorities certain lives, certain communities over others, and then capitalizing on other bodies just for the profit of those who are already in a privileged position. That's just manifesting itself with budget allocation as well.
I mean, you could hear Mayor Garcetti right now, right up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mayor Garcetti's police funding right there.
Right.
While people are still homeless and living on the streets in the middle of a pandemic.
Yep.
And while people aren't getting any money, while everyone's losing their jobs, millions of people are unemployed. And so, you know, they show what they value. When they talk about budgeting, that's just what they prioritize and what's important to them. What's important to them is the police. What's important to them is the property that the police protect. What's not important to them are the people who are dying.
Well said. This is Theo Henderson from Whittier House. I'm going to mill around and ask a couple of other people for their perspective. I thank you for your time, and I hope we again meet in the light of understanding. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time.
No problem.
Yeah, have a good one.
You too.
Have a good one.
House News. Los Angeles Police Department Chief Michael Moore blamed looters as having the same blood on their hands as the four officers that murdered George Floyd. He gave a lukewarm apology, but a larger issue looms of his belief systems on people of color when they're angry and protesting police violence. Multiple people arrested in South Bend, Indiana. Police break up a unhoused encampment. Minneapolis residents commandeer a hotel for the unhoused. Rosemary Fisher, one of the community members, said, "People are organizing themselves. We take care of each other." The owner was preparing to evacuate it when community activists arrived. Bishop Ferber stated, "I believe housing people here, we prevented it from being burned down." In other news, in one of my episodes, I covered one of the unhoused vigilantisms at Good Morning Vietnam in Playa del Rey. House vigilantism with police LAPD tacit approval occurred in Playa del Rey this week. Pictures of the assault were taken, similar to George Floyd. Police arrived and arrested the vigilantes, and the vigilantes walked free. These NIMBYs have been stalking the victims for a week, posting threatening messages in the Playa del Rey community Facebook community, threatening to beat him up and throw Molotov cocktails at him. In reward for this, Mike Bonner's staffer, Matt Teckel, scheduled a town hall to discuss the plan to deal with the park and its occupier. In Orange County, California, the district attorney, Todd Spitzer, held a press conference to discuss a series of poisoning targeting the unhoused in the city of Huntington Beach. The unhoused were poisoned with food laced with oleoresin capsaicin, which is twice as strong as the pepper spray used by the police, and filmed their reactions. The unhoused victims suffered from seizure-like symptoms, difficulty breathing, vomiting, intense mouth and stomach pain. Several required hospitalization. And this is unhoused. This is Theo Henderson for We The Unhoused. I'm talking to one of the gentlemen that got shot with a riot paint gun by the police. Can you tell us what happened?
We're all outraged and we're trying our best to peacefully protest. I get that there are some individuals that are causing riot. You know, focus your attention on them rather than somebody that is standing along the sideline, just making sure everyone's okay.
Peacefully.
And I was shot. I was shot by a rubber bullet, and that didn't stop me. We're still here. I did not fret. I did not move. You got to make a stand. Let them know this is not okay. It hasn't been okay for a long time. It's time we join together, and this is my battle scar. That's my battle scar.
Where were you at when they was just shooting?
So we're in front of Trader Joe's right now. I was on top of this security booth, and I'm not hurting anybody.
Right.
I'm not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
And they're trying to set an example. You're setting the wrong example. Mm-hmm. You're setting the wrong example.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Marcus. If you guys want to follow me on Instagram, it's at About Montana. Again, that's About Montana. That's across all of my social medias. And let's speak up. Let's speak out. Let's show love and support. No matter what race or style or gender or religion, we're all in this together, and that's it.
Thank you very much for that impact statement. This is Theo Henderson for We The Unhoused. I thank you all for listening, and may we again meet in the light of understanding. Cool of the shade. Oh, please don't make me go out in that sun. Thank you. This is Theo Henderson from We The Unhoused. I'm here in the shade on a hot Saturday day, and I was just telling them I'm not a young man anymore, so I'll leave this to them. They got the right spot. So let me get you guys' names, and we can have a conversation here.
Harry Witzke.
Scott Taylor.
Alex Keaveney.
Oh, thank you guys for taking the time to speak with me. So what is your feelings about this incident with George Floyd? What's your thoughts on this?
It's one of many incidents that's been going on for years and years and years.
Yep.
And it's a catalyst more than anything.
Yes, I agree. What's your thoughts?
This is Scott, and I'm a black man. Mm-hmm. And what I'll say is it's not really about George Floyd at all. George Floyd is merely a representation of what's been going on for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. I think we're all out here to stand up against what's going on, police brutality, as well as just black people being seen as, what my shirt says, less of a human being.
They fought and died for me when you all just see is 3/5.
Yeah. Yeah.
3/5 compromise.
Yep.
Yes, that's very true. I too, when it happened to me, I had to
I had a very visceral reaction, I'll be honest, because I'm African-American and I'm unhoused, and it makes me angry because of the times that I've been hassled by cops. I had 13 cops come up on me. I've had them vilify my name. I've had them pull guns on me and my brother. So I felt that could really literally have been me. You know, all it took is one idiot that didn't like the way if I didn't move fast enough or things like that, and things would have changed. What affected you about the George Floyd situation?
What affects me is how it hurts my black and brown brothers and sisters, and I'm just here as an ally to support them and protect them because they haven't been protected for hundreds of years, and I know as a white man that's my duty now to do the things that they are unable to do on their own.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate it. One of the things also I want to talk about is where do we go from here? Because this seems like this is not just here in Los Angeles. I watched Minneapolis. I've seen Pittsburgh. I've seen other places are following suit with coming out in droves. And it's a rainbow coalition of people that just saying enough of the police. What do you think? Where do we go from here?
We were kind of discussing this earlier, and what we want to see, what we hope we go from here is long-term organized protests. Mm-hmm. We hope that this isn't just like a two-week period where the nation's upset. Mm-hmm. We hope that, you know, we can mirror our equals in Hong Kong, who have been protesting every week for months on end. I think from here, I hope that we're able to build a system that we can protest like this for months to come to enact some form of real change. Mm-hmm.
And I would love for just people as a whole to stop labeling this as like a Black Lives Matter movement,
okay,
or label it as George Floyd or label it as anything, mm-hmm, and just understand that it's more of a mindset shift that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And the things that are happening in cities while people are rioting, people are looting, and people are protesting, you know, you can label it whatever you want to label it, and words kind of change the narrative.
Yeah.
And there's certain people controlling the narrative,
yes,
so I would like people to be able to see that, you know, while they show you this and they tell you that, or tell you this, tell you that, there's places like where you can get sources of information, such as your podcast, for instance, where you can get the people's view on it, the people that are actually in it. Most of us are nonviolent.
Nice.
Now, everybody is going to be an opportunist.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to take their chance to get something that they can take.
Yeah.
So that's what you have when groups of people kind of hoard together. But in all reality, what it's all about is change. It's all about change.
But one of the things that I always, when people say that about looting and rioting, they never say that when there's a championship game. They never say that when there's like the Huntington Beach surf turf thing, when they waived $2 billion of conflict. President Trump didn't call them thugs, talking about they was going to be shot and things. So what are your thoughts on this?
I'm here to promote reform among all institutions of the United States. Every single institution in this country was built upon racism. And until we all come together and recognize that and work towards change, nothing will change. So demonstrations like this show that the people really do care and understand that this country was built in a way that we do not agree with, and we're going to do our best to make it work for all its citizens, black, brown, yellow, anything.
And this country itself was built upon looting. It was built upon intimidation.
Yes.
It was built upon forceful taking of land, forceful taking of indigenous people's things. It's in our museums. Artifacts are in our museums. Nothing owns to those people. None of those people that own the museums own any of those artifacts.
Yeah.
They took them. That's what's happening in the streets right now.
Yeah.
And the only way to incite change is to, you got to flip it on its head.
One of the, also that if you look, this is what Mayor Garcetti is allocating 54% of his budget, more police funding and cutting out services that are needed for people of color, children, elderly, people with health issues. He's devoted an entire, almost half, over half of his budget toward police, who are the culprit, and we spend out millions of dollars in settling for wrongful or police brutality cases. So here's something that we can do, as I always say, is that we can, like, for example, his budget is up for review. We can call and demand that you listen to the people's budget instead of your budget, because your budget is just basically occupying and militarizing people in poor people's neighborhoods after you create legislation and ordinances offices to punish them for the victims for their own victimization. It's wrong. But this is one of the things that I truly encourage. This coming up this week, please contact your labor, your council member or the city hall and tell them to stop that budget. It is no reason for you to have over $6 billion added on what you have extra money from the neighborhood councils and every other, the union and every other place, but the taxpayers and most often than not the people of color are paying for the police brutality against themselves. So we're paying our own money for us to get stopped and getting our ass beat.
Absolutely. Yep. Every last penny goes to mobilizing them. Mm-hmm. It goes to more resources for them, but nothing really goes to their education. Mm-hmm. What police need is education and, merely maybe mental health. Yes. They need to understand why they experience the feelings that they experience.
Yeah.
Why they are so aggressive with black folks. Why mm-hmm. they are so aggressive with anybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody. It doesn't matter really what color you are. To be mm-hmm. fair, they are aggressive.
Yes.
When they get involved with you, they become aggressive.
Yes.
It's because that's their nature.
Yeah.
That's their brotherhood, and that's what they stand for, and that's what's been accepted.
And they know that there's nothing going to be done about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're the enforcers, and With that money, is any of that money going to go to de-escalation training?
No.
Is that going to go to how to deal with somebody who is maybe resisting in a safe way? None of it's going to go to that. It's going to go to ramping up numbers, ramping up more weapons, more protection for people who don't need it. So
exactly, more riot gear, which only promotes
more violence.
Right. The police haven't been about protecting their community for hundreds of years. They've been about control.
Right. Yep.
And this is us showing that the citizens are in control.
Yep.
We're the ones who decide what you can and cannot do because this is our country.
And a little known fact to a lot of people is the police force was actually started to round up slaves, freed slaves.
Right.
So there was no, when slavery ended, nobody was doing the work.
Right.
So a police force began, and that's why what they did is they rounded up people for petty crimes, and then they made them perform work in exchange.
And change gangs.
Yes.
Exactly.
Here's the thing also, too, is that it's over billions of dollars. Like, for example, for the unhoused community, to sweep an unhoused community tenement, it's $30 million a year. And a couple of years ago, it added up to $60 million. Now, think of that kind of money, what that could have been to help people find supportive housing, substance use training, or places where they could get treated for it, mental health training and mental health de-escalation services for them. That didn't happen. All it had happened was a bunch of NIMBYs and a bunch of privileged people calling council members who didn't like unhoused people anyway, mm-hmm. and use it, the police force as the occupying military armada, if you will. So is there anything else you'd like to add before I sign off?
Yeah, I hope that more white people can understand that this, it's a privilege to not have to give a shit about these kind of things. So, I hope they recognize that privilege. I hope that, white people make up 60% of this country, and I hope that more of them, and I'm happy to see a lot of white people out here today, I hope that they can stand up and understand that, that they need to be a part of this.
A system that's built on oppression and that benefits from people's oppression and suppression is only going to feel it when they feel oppressed.
Exactly.
This is only going to continue until change is actually made. And I hope people see this and understand that this is bigger than what they are, and we're going to keep on going.
Thank you all for it and for the shade. This is this is C.O. Henderson for Weedy and House. I thank you all for listening, and may we again meet in the light of understanding. Peaceful protest due to the police provoking the protesters. They shot at one of the protesters with a beanbag, and that's turned the situation from a peaceful protest to a defensive mechanism. Now people are cruising their cars. Hey, how's it going? How are you? Good to see you. Good to see you.
I've been messaging Carlos, and then I just got lost in here.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait, let me ask you, let me get you on record. This is a returning guest, Lady Bliss. So tell me, why are you out here?
Straight up, I'm black, I'm here, and I just can't sit and look on social media and not be part of it.
Well said. Well, yes, did you hear what happened with the police shooting beanbags?
No, I was over here. I didn't know what they were shooting. I was just...
They were shooting at the protesters.
This is my first time being in a protest like this, so I'm a little afraid, but at the same time, I don't want to be on the sidelines.
Okay. Well, I'm going to mill around a little more, but thank you, Lady Bliss. This is Theo Henderson from Woodian House. There's more to follow. This is Theo Henderson from Woodian House, and we are seeing the protests move forward. They're marching outside the park of Pan Pacific. So let's figure out what's going on, and what one of our guests here, Kyle, is going to tell us what his thoughts is on the matter.
Hey, Theo. Yeah, we're out here to support our black and brown comrades. We're all appalled at the, you know, white supremacy that we see on a daily basis. And, you know, we need to abolish the police, and we're here to call for that. We're here to call for the defunding of LAPD. We're here to call for LAUSD to cut all ties with the LAPD and to abolish the carceral state and police as we know it, and divert resources to services.
Was this the tipping point for you guys to, because I see such a rainbow of people, was this one of the tipping points for you guys to really mobilize to come out?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's so many tipping points, right? I think, you know, George Floyd is just one of, you know, the millions of victims of white supremacy. And it's the spark that, is driving people out here right now, because we can't sit back and watch this happen every single day.
Mayor Garcetti and Nuri Martinez are over the budget, the city budget, which is 54% of LAPD is used of allocated funds. That means some of the services that are essential, particularly during COVID-19, is going to be cut. What message should they take away from this demonstration out here?
That budget reflects no one's priorities in this city except for the LAPD. It's most egregious, insane use of resources to give a raise to people who are, you know, the most murderous police force in this country, when poor people and people of color are as vulnerable as ever. These people, you know, our city council is, and our mayor should be deeply ashamed of themselves, and, you know, they don't represent the amazing people of this city.
What about if people say, not all police officers are bad? What do you guys say about that?
Well, look, it's not a matter of individual critique, right? It's a matter of the system. The system is rotten, and if you partake in the system, then you are infected by that rottenness, regardless of your individual prejudices or attitudes. That's what we mean when we say there's no good cop. We don't mean that every single cop harbors racial prejudice. We mean that they're partaking in a system that is institutionally structured to oppress people of color and poor people in this country. And there's no way to be a paid officer of the state and not partake in that violence, no matter how good and well-intentioned you are.
That's excellently stated, I should say. One last thing. Where is the movement going now?
Well, I mean, I think people are at their wits' end for a variety of reasons. And, the fact that this is taking place during a time when we have, you know, mass unemployment and we have resources being spent on, you know, LAPD and law enforcement when people are struggling to buy groceries and are you know, getting sick by the thousands. I think this is the start of a really unprecedented movement in this country and hopefully in the world. And I mean, I don't think it's crazy to talk
about Garcetti's money.
Right there, that's it, right there, yeah. Imagine what good that money could be spent on instead of monitoring, you know, peaceful protesters. It's insane.
Thank you, Kyle, for taking the time to give us your insights on this. I'm going to continue to mill about, and I want to thank you for your time. This is Theo Henderson from Weedy and Howes, and I thank you all for listening, and may we again meet in the light of understanding. Thank you for listening to episode 25. I hope you walked away with some new insights, as well as a renewed resolve to do something other than just cluck your tongue or blame the victims. This has motivated me to create a Zoom invite to all that's listening to have a discussion about the things that have occurred and the things that we want to see. It's titled Meeting in the Light of Understanding, and it will be a Zoom invite. I encourage all of us to come, if either just to listen or to offer some insight. I encourage your insight to see where we are as a community as well as a country. But one of the things that we must center is not only just George Floyd, but we also must center the Black unhoused people that are all over the world. Black unhoused are twice as likely to have interactions with the police officers. So this is a poignant and is a relevant topic that is not being discussed. One of the keys to that is neighborhood business councils or business improvement district individuals that will sit and have meetings about unhoused people and discussing plans how to get rid of them, or using the legal arm of the city, such as the neighborhood prosecutors, in order to terrorize and displace unhoused people without offering a viable solution. If you're one of those NIMBYs that has been pushing against having unhoused people in houses near or shelters near your area in your neighborhood or schools and things like that, then you need to rethink this. This issue is relevant because when you call the police and business improvement district individuals, you are weaponizing and using privilege in order to terrorize unhoused people. We have got to move the police and law enforcement out of the major equation and allow money that Garcetti is supposedly going to cut from the police and put them in services that people really need. I thank you all for listening, and may we truly meet in the light of understanding.